Welcome to the Mama Bear Dares podcast. I'm Tessie.
And I'm Leslie.
And we're sisters-in-law. We started this podcast because we're two women currently in our pajamas. And we started a podcast. So we know there are other people, other women in their pajamas doing remarkable things. And we think you need to hear about them. We think this podcast is the perfect place to do that, to celebrate the everyday, the big things that women are doing, but also the little things that they do to nurture their other self. So that's what happens on Mondays. Today is Wednesday, though. On Wednesdays, we do our Mama Bear Mini, which is our midweek episode, because it's on Wednesday.
We're so smart. We're so savvy. And so on today's Mama Bear Mini episode, we are discussing an article written by Soraya Kamali, originally published in Role Reboot, but brought to our attention by Amy Poehler's Smart Girls Facebook feed. So if you're not already subscribing to Amy Poehler's Facebook feed, the Smart Girls organization that she runs, it's fantastic. So make sure you do that now. And we will be discussing an article that we found there in a segment that we call, We Read It, We Loved It, Let's Discuss. We also posted the article on our Facebook feed and got some great response. So we will be repping that response on the repping the Mama Bear community on the Mama Bear Dares, otherwise called repping the MBC on the MBD.
You're getting better. I think you've been watching Hamilton just enough.
Just enough. It's true. All right, we can't wait to get into the podcast, but first, well, you guys know the drill.
You do. Audible. It's where it's at, you guys. Get your free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audible.com/mamabeardares. And also hit up Amazon. It's the banner ads on our website. Buy all of your stuff through there. And it gives us just a couple pennies every click, which is awesome. We'll put it to good use, so do that. Leslie, what's in your cart?
Currently, I have a bright orange watch coming my way. I'm trying to be less dependent on my phone, and I find that I haven't worn a watch in like 10 years, and so of course when I need to know what time it is, I pick up my phone. And I'm just a little bit too reliant because, you know, the time turns into checking the weather, and that turns into checking Facebook. So I decided to buy a watch, and it's orange because who doesn't love a pop of color?
Everybody loves a pop of color. Pop of color too. Also pop of color. Let's say that. Pop of color. What? I pop am determined to get somebody to pop their collar today.
Yeah, you are. How about you, Tessie? What's in your cart?
Well, despite it being a really overcast and gross day today in Michigan, I did get a sunburn at Terraku's baseball tournament this weekend on my nose. So sunscreen. Hang 10. Have you heard of Hang 10 sunscreen?
I have not. Tell me about it.
I love it. As I've discussed here, I have sensitive skin, so it doesn't make me break out. I like it. It's natural. Perfect. It goes on clean.
Nice.
Everything you want from sunscreen.
All right. Sunscreen's important. Wear your sunscreen. Call your mom. Wear your sunscreen.
You heard it here first.
So, I follow you on social media, Tessie. I don't know if you knew that or not.
Thank you.
But according to your feed, you've had a pretty good week.
Yes.
It looks like your kids made you dinner one night, which is fantastic. You celebrated some birthdays of friends online. I don't know that you celebrated them in person, but it makes me happy to see you have friends to celebrate.
I poured out a glass on their behalf.
Oh, good, good. You celebrated some great kid moments, and I really, don't get me wrong, I loved seeing all of this, but I know you, and I know that it wasn't just track meets and birthday cake. You also told me a little story, and I just feel like we should tell it here, because on the Mama Bear Dares podcast, we're keeping it real.
We are.
So what do you think? You want to share with our listeners what you told me earlier this week?
Yeah. I mean, I try really, really hard to be, you know, open and honest on my social media channel. I don't want to make it sound like all things are like clean and beautiful here, or that I have my stuff together all the time, right? So you know that I can be really awkward. For some reason, people are surprised to hear that. I don't know. Do you think I disguise it well enough on the day-to-day? Why do you think people are...
Well, you walk like a dancer. Like, you've always had a great gait, and so it doesn't look like you would be, like, tripping and falling and, like, screwing up all the time.
Well, that's really funny, because I don't trip and fall all the time, but you do.
That is true. That's true.
So I'm usually awkward in a whole other way. You know, I studied communication in college, so like it's my jam. I'm an extrovert. I love communicating, but sometimes I just get awkward and I can't shake it. That's just reality. Okay.
We all have moments. Right. I mean, we do.
And since moving to Michigan 2 years ago, it feels like it's been a never ending meet new people moment. Mm-hmm. You know, which always is awkward. Is anyone ever really good at meeting new people?
So true. That is so true. That's what I was thinking. It's probably, it seems heightened.
Yeah.
Because you're constantly monitoring your impression to the world, like the impression you're making to all these new people. It's just, it's heightened in your mind.
It is. And really, if I was just meeting them somewhere random and I maybe won't see, I don't really think about that. But when they're the parents of my kids' friends, and at some point their kid might be spending the night here, I just feel like I can't be weird.
And it's hard to hide the weird. It's
so hard. I call it suppressing the tests. It's very hard to suppress the tests. So
maybe
anyway.
That's what should this segment should just be called. Can't suppress the tests.
It's true. So anyway, Dayla was with a friend, and her parents were going to drop her off. Now, they have dropped her off before, but they usually just drop her off, give a little toot to the horn, and then just take off. So I was in my pajamas, my face was washed. We discussed this in a previous mini, but, you know, I'm having these crazy acne outbreaks, so I will admit that I don't like having my makeup off, especially when I'm meeting new people. It's just a thing. I'm working through it. We're going to get past it, but it's a thing. Anyway, so, you know, we're all there. My pajamas usually have at least four different meals on them, you know?
Is that because they're not really just pajamas? Like, do you wear them through the day?
I wear them all day.
So they're pre-jamas as well as pajamas.
They're my house clothes.
Okay.
That's what I'm calling them now. They're my house clothes. So I had my house clothes on, face washed, glass of wine, relaxing with Zach. And I'm sure you're the same way. When you get into that mode, it's hard to turn anything on. You're just being real with your husband, you know? So that's where I'm at. Well, this is the one time the woman decides to come in, Leslie.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. And I hear her start walking up and say, hello. And Zach looks at me, and I'm like, you go, you know, in motion, like, your turn. And he's like, come on, get up, you know, because he's always encouraging me to be a better person, I think is what he was trying to say.
I'm sure that his intent was just growth, looking out for the growth of his life, personal growth. Zach's like that. That's just Zach.
That's totally a Klipsch thing, right? Their face just screams like, I want you to personally grow from this moment.
That's right.
They might be thinking that, but that's not what their face is telling me. But instead of doing that, instead of personally growing, I just dove behind my couch and hid. So there I was in the fetal position behind my couch. And the woman, we have like a split level. So the woman comes up to the top level and is talking eye to eye with Zach. So if she just walked two steps forward, she would see me crouched behind my couch. And I can hear Zach, with just probably a note of anger in his voice, saying, like, well, Tessie's here.
He totally called you out. I can't believe him.
Of course he did. But I was going to hide. I was going to stick to it because I'm like, she's just saying goodbye, you know? But then her daughter comes running up and they go in Dayla's room and I'm like, oh my God. And I knew Zach, I knew he would probably offer her to sit down and then I would be busted. So in that moment, I'm like, I better just show myself. So I pop up from behind the couch.
Did you say like, oh, I found it. I found what I was looking for. Hello, welcome. Or was it just, I mean, how did you recover from that?
I don't think I did. I don't think I ever recovered from it. You know what? This just occurred to me. They haven't let her come over before. They only let Dayla go there.
Are you serious?
Oh my gosh.
Oh no.
So you guys, here's the moral of the story. Don't hide behind couches. You will be found out, right? I think that's the only moral of this story.
Well, thank you for sharing that. I appreciate your authenticity. I love this image so much that you have painted.
I just want you guys to know that, you know, we want you to know that Leslie trips and falls sometimes. Mm-hmm. That's where Sentayu gets it. Mm-hmm. That's a nurture thing.
You're quite sure of this. Yes.
And
studied
I get,
and proven.
I get terribly awkward. It's a thing. We are not perfect, but we're podcasting. So if we can podcast, you can do anything.
That's right. That is right. All right, let's get on to bigger things. Let's go to, we read it, we loved it, let's discuss.
This is one of my favorite segments, actually.
Yeah, I enjoy this too. There's so much good stuff being written once you sort through all the stuff that's not so great. But yeah, so we found this article on the Amy Poehler Smart Girls Facebook feed. Mm-hmm. It's written by Soraya Kamali. It's called 10 Words Every Girl Should Learn. And I think it first appeared in that Role Reboot, which we'll post in the show notes. I know there was a version of it on the Huffington Post also. Mm. So according to the article, there are 10 words that every girl should learn, not vocabulary terms, but actual critical phrases that they can use when their contributions to a discussion are discounted or interrupted. So the phrases that are pointed out in this article are, stop interrupting me, I just said that, and no explanation needed. So these are good things to teach both our boys and our girls. Mm-hmm. However, it's really crucial when we're talking about our girls.
Yeah, the article does a good job of really just talking about raising girls. But, you know, we want to make sure that we're also encouraging boys to witness, you know, the dynamic, the power dynamic, too. Mm-hmm. So for this bit, for this segment, we're going to focus on girls, but understand we also mean, hey, this is how you should teach your girls. But if you only have boys, there's something for you in here too.
Yeah, absolutely. So let me read a quote here. It says, globally, childhood politeness lessons are gender asymmetrical. We socialize girls to take turns, listen more carefully, not curse, and resist interrupting in ways that we do not expect boys to. Put another way, we generally teach girls subservient habits and boys to exercise dominance. So as a result of this, boys and men are prone to interrupt more or talk over another person, whereas girls are prone not to interrupt and to give way when someone tries to interrupt them. So just like you were saying, this is why we need to teach these our girls those 10 words of those phrases, but we also need to make our boys aware of the power dynamics that can come through just the language that we use.
Mm-hmm.
So this is obviously something that starts in childhood and then never really ends. The article also talks about how parents interrupt girls twice as often as they interrupt boys, and they hold them to stricter politeness norms. So after reading this, I started to try to notice, you know, or observe the things in my own family of the way we talk to each other and who gets to speak when. And basically, Tessie, like, we are a family of interrupters. At first, I thought it was just, I was very alarmed. I'm like, oh my gosh, we are interrupting our daughter constantly. And then I realized, like, we're also interrupting our boys, and they're interrupting us, and she's interrupting them. And so we need to just work on this in general. Like, it's clearly, you know, allowing for another voice is a lost art in the conversation of our family. So I, you know, it was interesting to observe, and I truly was thinking, you know, is this true? Do we do this with our 6-year-old daughter?
Mm-hmm. That's the first step, right? Mm-hmm. Is just becoming aware, trying to step back and observe.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think you'll find those kind of patterns. I can see how this is true. I don't necessarily see the interrupting, because I too have been observing since I read this article. But I do see how Dayla is held to a higher standard for politeness, you know?
Yes, yeah.
And I don't even think it's by us necessarily, but it could have been in the past, and then she's mm-hmm. getting kind of the world to tell her that too. But I even think, and I know you hate talk like this, but my boys just fart and burp with zero cares. Like, it's just no big deal, right? I won't allow it at the dinner table because, come on, I'm trying to eat. But everywhere else, it's no big deal. But Dayla already has internalized somehow that that's not right. I mean, she still does
that's
it.
That's never polite for her.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? I mean, something mm-hmm. as simple as something everybody does, that's like a human thing. And somehow she doesn't feel as okay to do that all the time. And I just thought that's one way I've observed this trickle down.
Yeah, that's interesting. So research also has found that places of power, like boards, committees, legislatures, in these places, these kind of problem-solving groups that gather, men speak 75% more than women. So that is really interesting. And one thing that was kind of summed up from that fact and that bit of research was that having a seat at a powerful table doesn't necessarily equate to having a voice mm-hmm. at that table.
Mm-hmm.
This was something that I noticed in just like the most obvious way. About a year ago, Jake and I both went to a Women in Social Justice conference that was put on by a local university here. And it's like a 3-day conference. They always get a great speaker in to kind of culminate the event. And the speaker at this particular conference was Cheryl Wudunn, and she is the co-author of Half the Sky mm-hmm. and A Path Appears. She's married to Nick Kristof, the New York Times columnist. She also has written for the New York Times. But she's fantastic, and I'm a longtime admirer of her work, and so I was thrilled to go and see her speak. Jake was, too. Jake absolutely loves her work, and we got a babysitter. We went early. You know, we actually sat, we're kind of dorky this way, but we were early enough that we got, like, third row seats. So
does not surprise me.
We were so excited. But she gave her talk, you know, all about empowering this half the population that holds up the sky, right? All mm-hmm. empowering women to do good work in the world. And it came time for the Q&A. And, you know, I love Jake for engaging. He's always up for great conversation. And so he raised his hand right away. He had a question, and he was the first voice that was called on. So after she gave this great 45-minute lecture, he takes the microphone. He's not shy. And in his booming voice, he asks a really great question. But I couldn't help but think, like, why out of the 1,000 people that are here, was it this large male voice
that they wanted to hear from this, next.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I didn't really, I mean, I had lots of questions. None of them were so pressing that I really felt like I needed to ask. However, just to even the balance a little bit, I grabbed the microphone next because I was like, you can't be at a women in social justice conference and only allow men to speak. And, you know, I didn't know who was going to get called on next, but I was pretty sure that I needed to make sure it was a woman.
I'm so proud of you for doing that because that's absolutely necessary. And I hate how just ingrained in our culture it is, one, to recognize men as having the authority on a subject, even though the subject is women. Mm-hmm. You know, we have given up so much of our agency that we actually ask men about that. Hey, sir, you don't have a seat at this table because you don't have a vagina. Move along, you know? Mm-hmm. And Jake is. He's a very wise... I would be interested in his question. And yet... like, let's let the women talk, right? There was also the example I was thinking of when I read this, that actually podcasts that are hosted by men are listened to more than women. It's that whole dynamic of assuming they have the authority over something.
Right. So another section of the article, let me read another quote. It says, a woman speaking clearly and out loud can say something that no one appears to hear, only to have a man repeat it minutes, maybe seconds later, to accolades and group discussion. So, you know, there's a lot of really informative podcasts out there, or blogs, or newspaper articles, or speakers, you know, whatever the medium happens to be. But the ones that are... and they might be offering really similar advice or offering similar information, but the ones spoken by men are the ones that hold this authority, which also is very interesting. And by paying attention, I think it's a cycle that we can contribute to breaking.
I agree. By paying attention. I mean, we have to be really vigilant about paying attention to that. That quote went on to say, when you add race and class to the equation, the incidence of this kind of marginalization is even higher. Mm-hmm. And they point to that it's even worse for Black women. If a Black woman is testifying in court, it says, if they adopt what is often categorized as white women's language, they are considered less credible. However, if they are more assertive, white jurors find them rude, hostile, out of control, and hence, again, less credible. So as marginalized as you and I feel sometimes, and I've certainly been in those moments when I say something that's intelligent, thought out, thought provoking, and it's met with crickets, and then a man does it, and it's like, oh, bravo, bravo, you know, just blank stares from me. It's even worse for the women of color. And I think, again, being aware of that is really important.
I would never really advocate for silencing ourselves, but we can make room for other female voices that aren't being heard. You know, so where we may have credibility because of the color of our skin, we can give some of that away. We can share that position. And maybe that's another thing we can take from this, is not only looking out for our daughters and sons and teaching them about communication in this world, we can just also be more sensitive to just the other female voices in the room. So now, let's do our segment called Reppin' the MBC on the MBD.
There it is.
So, we love hearing reader response, and we posted this on our Facebook page, and one of the first emails that we received in response was from a male listener. Hooray for male listeners. Yes. Thank you very much for joining this conversation. He said, As a husband to a woman and a man raising a daughter, as well as being a man in a top-level position in his company, I was floored by this article. I didn't realize the truth of the article until I really looked at my own experience in the corporate world and the space in which my wife and daughter occupy. I believe everything the article says, but I'm wondering, other than teaching my daughter to say, "Stop interrupting me, I just said that," etc., how else can I help? This is a great question. I'm so glad that this person wrote this in. What's some advice for this man wanting to do better?
Firstly, Papa Bear, welcome to the tribe. Thank you. Secondly, I think really it's about giving room for others to speak. If you're sitting in a meeting with women in your organization and you notice that male voices are dominating a conversation, ask the female to chime in. What do you think of this? What are your thoughts? Have you experienced this? All of these are great questions. And I must say, if you are going into a meeting and you know women are going to be in there, to be kind of proactive about the situation and go up to them ahead of time and say, "Hey, I'm really looking forward to what you have to add to the conversation," so that they do have time to kind of get the confidence and the understanding of what they want to say ahead of time. I think that goes a long way.
Mm-hmm. I think another response to just sort of that unconscious sexism of a man repeating something that a woman just said and then getting that credit, I think a great response to that is just to call it out when we notice it.
Yeah.
So if you're sitting somewhere and you hear a woman say something and then you hear a man say it and get all the credit, you can then interject into that conversation and say, "So basically you're saying what Kate just said," or, you know, something to that effect. I don't know what it's like to be a man. I don't know if other men would tease or ridicule for these things, but I think even if they do, think about your wife and daughter, and it's worth it.
It is worth it. And I really don't care if you get teased. Do it anyway. This is, once you're awake to these things, if you then choose to ignore it, that's worse. I mean, let's be real about this. Once you're awake, you can't go back to sleep on certain issues. So don't do it. Be the person who acknowledges it when it happens. And if someone is offended, another male is offended by you saying that, you can talk to them afterwards and play this podcast for them or send them the article so that they're aware too. Spread the knowledge. Wake up everybody else.
Yep. The book Lean In, I think, is great. I think Sheryl Sandberg's book is fantastic. And so I would offer the advice to this man that if you are in this position of authority in your company and if you have the power, like, make a book club, make a mandatory book club, or just like buy the book for the people in your department and everyone read it together and start these conversations. I think that would be a what? You're laughing.
The image of like a VP of a Forbes 100 company being like, "I've started a book club. It is mandatory. We will meet Wednesday in the main."
Well, the reason I was thinking this, though, and I mean, granted, Jake works in an elementary school, but he did this at the end of one school year. I read the book Lean In, and then I was like highly recommending it to him, nudging him. And he was like, "This is good stuff. This is a lot of stuff I haven't thought of." And he bought it for everyone to read over the summer.
You guys are amazing.
That's why I married him.
One of our mama bears wrote in saying, "I've seen every one of these scenarios play out in my own life, but I feel like I'm just getting started on my own journey into speaking up for myself. How in the world do I start encouraging my daughter to do it when I hardly feel strong enough for myself?" Oof.
Such a great question.
It's such a great question, and we've all been there, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
I can't stress enough just the power of showing her, the power of, I think it's okay. I mean, I really believe it's okay for our daughters and our sons to see us struggle through something. Mm-hmm. It's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to let it go once in a while. and then have the conversation with them, you know what, I'm really bummed that I didn't say this then, so that they can see they don't have to be perfect about it all the time, but that you try really hard to be aware of it. So practice, and practice in front of your daughter so she knows how to do it as well.
Yeah, and just find a community who is also working on it. It might be your Mama Bear Dares community. It might be the people sitting next to you on the sidelines of the soccer game. But I think, you know, a lot more people than you realize are probably thinking the same thing. Like, mm-hmm. you know, they're feeling a little bit shy about speaking up. They might notice these things but not be willing to say anything. And so I think just starting those conversations and finding your people is really, really helpful.
Absolutely. And when you found your people, don't be afraid to bring it up to them too. And I'm speaking specifically to our husbands. Our husbands have grown up in this world too, right? It's really important. I was thinking about when I was a coach and I coached with Zach, I would often tell the kids something and they would just look at me like, she doesn't know what she talks about. And then Zach would say the same thing. And then they would be like, oh my gosh, that's so good. And then change it. And so being able to say to Zach, take him aside and be like, hey, just don't repeat it. You know, like, let me figure out how to get to them in my own time and in my own way. And you tell them something different, right? Mm-hmm. So say it to your people too, because obviously your husband is the arguably the biggest member of your community. So like make that an important angle too.
Yeah, so let me practice with my community. I have an example.
This is a safe space.
Okay, good. I trust that it is.
Okay.
A couple Fridays ago, I picked the kids up from school, and we knew that opening day of Little League was the next day, and my middle son did not have baseball pants yet. So I took all the kids, loaded up the minivan, we went to a large kind of big box sporting goods store. And the whole experience, I mean, you guys, tell me I'm not the only one that like finds shopping with three kids to be a little stressful.
I don't know why you did it.
I know. If I were more organized, I would have just done it myself. So anyway, we were at this sporting goods store and we'd picked out the baseball pants, not without like my daughter running away, hiding under a rack of clothes, like finding a fitting room, but it being locked. And so we had to wait for some, you know, like all of these things. It just, I was sweating. Like I just wanted to be done. But we got to the cash register and, you know, there's always like all the little kind of tchotchkes, like right as you're about to check out.
And
Big League Chew. You read my mind. Like kids were begging me for Big League Chew. They were begging me for flashlights. They were begging me for special canteens and just all of this stuff. And I just was like, no, no, don't ask me again. No. This is what I said. No. Like, they're just throwing all of this at me. And so I really, like, I was literally sweating by the time we got to the checkout. And just felt like I was, like, swatting kids out of the way and grabbing my wallet and all this stuff. And so
we've all been there.
I hope so. I hope I'm not the only one who gets really flustered in these situations. But as we checked out, the cashier said, do you want a loyalty card for shopping with us? And I said, no, thank you. And we moved about the transaction. And he said, are you sure you don't want one of the cards? You could really save a lot of money. Again, no. You know, in the meantime, I'm also no to that, no to that, like still fending off the greedy children. And again, he's like, are you sure? I think you know, you're really going to miss out if you don't get the savings. Like, and I just kind of lost it. Like, it was that I was at my boiling point. Yes. I was at the point where had I been at home, I would have, like, smacked my hand down on the counter and started, like, deep breathing. And my kids would have, like, run for the hills because they would know that, like, mom's going to lose it. And I just was like, I said no. I've been saying no for the last 20 minutes. Like, you're asking me for things. My kids are asking me for things. I've said no many
times. Did you say this to him?
Yes, I did.
Yes.
And my kids were, like, immediately silent. The biggest eyes, like cartoon eyes, looking at me like, oh my gosh. Like, she's really doing this. And so, you know, I never, ever, ever want to be the person that blows up because my coffee order is not correct. Or, right. You know, I've been a server. I know what it's like to work in the customer service industry. And I don't ever, ever, ever want to mistreat someone because I'm being impatient, right, or having a bad day. I'm really, really conscious of that. But I also was really frustrated with the fact that this person was not hearing me. Mm-hmm. And I just had kind of enough of people not hearing me, that I spoke up for myself. And, you know, I said to him, I said, I know you're doing your job. You know, I need you to understand that I don't want the loyalty membership card. And I feel like I told you that several times. So I lost it. And then I kind of collected myself, and I don't know, as we were leaving the store, the kids were still just like totally silent and staring at me. And so we talked about it, and I was just like, you know, guys, I probably didn't need to yell like that. And not that I was screaming at the top of my lungs by any means, but, you know, however, we need to be respectful of people. And no, this, it's such a hot button too. Like, especially the word no, like, I don't ever want you to be confused that no doesn't mean no the first time. It shouldn't take me three times to say it. So I guess I'm sharing this because it was a moment of uncomfortable. It was awkward. And it's really, I think, probably why this article really resonated, because I'm kind of fresh off this experience of, like, my blood boiling and my mama bear being poked, you know?
But you also showed Cinta how to do that, and you showed the boys, and you got to tell them no is never a maybe. And this kid, I assume he was a teenager or a young man.
Yeah.
Like, you absolutely 100% need to know that no is no. If you didn't know that before, you need to know that now. And it is your job to let him know that. So even if it is the policy of this big box store,
which honestly, I bet it is. Like, I bet they have to ask three times.
We really need to write in then, because that's outrageous. If it's a no, it's a no. I mean, let's just not even try to...
Yeah. I mean, that would be, I would love for someone to tell us, like, is there a good reason for that? Why in sales or something that, like, you do have to ask the question three times?
Yeah, I wonder there is, but I don't care. I'm over it. I've reached my limit. We can do better, America.
Thanks for letting me tell that story. I hope
I'm so glad you did. I was trying not to laugh, but, like, the image of you in that kind of hysterical echelon is one of my favorite images.
Some people, when their mama bear gets poked, like, they're very coherent.
Right. And a beauty to witness.
But no, like, that's not what it looks like when my mama bear, like, she throws tissue boxes across the room and, like, pounds on counters. And it takes a lot. It takes a lot, honestly. Right. Like, I'm a pretty laid-back person. But when Mama Bear comes out,
like, look out, tissues.
It's not pretty. And it's a little weird.
I clearly believe in adding just a little weird to every situation. So it's fine. Should we do the dare, though? Because the dare is important. It's an important piece of this podcast.
Yeah, let's do it.
Mama Bears, today we dare you to recognize the power of your own voice and use your Mama Bear strength to assert your words into the world. If you hold a position of power, we challenge you to recognize your position and then use it to make room for the voice of the women, the young women, the girls, and the marginalized in the most sincere and gracious way you know how. We dare you to take note of the power that is contained in language and observe what you've not observed before. Take a look at the way you interact with children, both boys and girls, and evaluate what you're teaching them about the words they spend each day. This is a huge topic, Mama Bears, and we dare you to consider what sexism sounds like and whittle away at inequality in your own thoughtful and beautiful way.
Yeah, that's good.
That is good. I think you wrote that. Good job.
So, Mama Bears, we want to hear from you. Find us on all of the social media channels. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram, and email us if you have questions or comments. If you want to ask us questions, we'd love to hear from you as part of this community of women and men who are just trying to do the best they can this crazy, crazy life.
Behind couches, in big box stores. We're just trying to live,
Just doing our best. We all are.
Exactly. If you know of a woman who also maybe hides behind couches or loses her stuff in a store, but, you know, is managing to do cool things in the world too, email us, mamabeardares@gmail.com, and we would love to interview her.
That's right. We'll be back next Monday with an interview with a fabulous woman that you've probably never heard of.
That's
so
right.
Until then, have a great week, Mama Bears.
Have a great week.